This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa baraka wa sallama tasliman kathiran ila yawmiddin amma ba'd. Allama Al-Harith Ibn Asad Al-Muhasibi, he says, وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ فَرِيضَةَ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ الْعَمَلُ بِحُكْمِهِ مِنَ الْأَمْرِ وَالنَّهِي وَالْخَوْفُ وَالرَّجَاءُ لِوَعْدِهِ وَوَعِيدِهِ وَالْإِيمَانُ بِمُتَشَابِهِهِ وَالْإِعْتِبَارُ بِقِصَصِهِ وَأَمْثَالِهِ. He starts this discussion by speaking about our obligation towards the Quran. Since this is the month of Ramadan and we are all, inshallah, performing, you know, trying to perform our rights towards the Quran. We are trying to read as much Quran as possible, which is our tradition. MashaAllah, many of our Muslimin, they read a lot of the Quran during the month of Ramadan. So he says that you have to know that the fariḍa and the obligations towards the Book of Allah is al-amalu bi-hukmihi min al-amri wa-nahi, which is to practice its commandments and its prohibitions, to basically fulfill them. Generally, this has been processed for us through the fiqh, the corpus of fiqh that we have. That way, you don't have to directly look into the Quran for your fiqh, because the fiqh in the Quran is not always as clear and doesn't cover everything in the depth that we generally need it for our everyday life. So the ulama have taken that as the first source of the sharia. However, there are many commands in the Quran that are very clear, and they don't need any, there's no ambiguity about them. There's the main fara'id, the aqimu salah, atu zakah, obedience to parents, la taqrabu zina, and many of these issues that are dealt with, for example, riba and interest and everything of that nature. So when a person does read the Quran, then he gets a reminder of these. The fiqh that he generally knows, he gets the reminder. Generally, when you read about these things, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide a warning or he'll provide a promise. So for the people who do certain good deeds, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide a promise as well. So the fariḍa and the obligation of reciting of the Quran upon us is that we fulfill its commandments to the best of our ability. The second, and this to a certain degree most of us do, because we have a fiqh to follow, which is a processed understanding of its commandments. The second point he makes is وَالْخَوْفُ وَالرَّجَاءُ لِوَعْدِهِ وَوَعِيدِهِ. The second point though, which many of us miss, and even the Huffaz, who are supposed to have a very strong connection in the Quran, if you look around the Ummah, the people who have the strongest connection to the Quran seem to be the Huffaz. People have memorized the Quran. However, the problem is that we have the system, alhamdulillah, which is something to be really, really proud of and something to really, really be grateful for. However, the problem is that when a person is hafiz of the Quran, then their entire focus is on its memorization. In fact, the way they've learnt it, the way they read it, is all on its memory. And it's all about just making sure they know what's next, that it has to flow. Then it becomes very difficult to actually ponder the words. When you start pondering the words as a hafiz of the Quran, you start forgetting what's next, because your focus shifts from remembering what's next to what the wording is. And for a person to be able to change that around, it takes a very long time. Because from a young age, generally, the Huffaz, people who have memorized the Quran, have been learning the Quran just with a focus to know the next part, to make no mistakes, not to ponder the verses. So many, many of our Huffaz are like this, that they do not know what any part of the Quran means. There's like no focus at all whatsoever. Even if it's a story, they just won't even think about it, because the whole focus are the words and to make sure they don't make a mistake. It's so important not to make a mistake, which it is. I mean, it's important not to make a mistake. So I remember when I started some years back in trying to overcome this, that look, it mustn't just be the words. It must be that we're also understanding what we're reading. And I remember the first year that I tried it. So while I'm learning, I'm trying to focus on the meaning. But then that requires you to read a bit slower, to ponder. It's a different kind of exercise of the mind, that you have to start thinking of the meaning rather than just regurgitating the words. So I remember, I think the first year, I probably understood about 20-25% of it. And you just couldn't do any more, otherwise you just make too many mistakes, especially in Tarawih. It's okay when you're learning it, you've got the Quran in front of you, that's fine. But you also have to learn it, right? And generally Ramadan's the time that a lot of Huffaz spend in just refreshing their memorization. So the first year was 20% in Tarawih, while actually standing there reading, it's about 20%. Then after that, in the second year, it was some more, I think maybe 50%. Right? And then after that, it was about 75%. Right? So I think to get that 100%, you actually have to learn it again like that. Which means not page by page necessarily, but maybe surah by surah, or maybe half a juz by half a juz, where you're actually pondering the meaning while you're reading too, so that you focus. And I think the only way that you could probably really just ponder over it while you're reading it is if you know it so well and so slowly. You see, when it comes to hifz of the Quran, the slower you know it, the better. If you're only used to knowing it fast, then you cannot read slow. You start reading slow, you'll make mistakes. You'll stumble. But if you know it very, very slow, then anytime you want to speed up, you can. You have the option of speeding up. And if you know it slowly, then you can really ponder over the meaning. So that's why the Huffaz who read certain parts of the Quran in their prayer, in their Salat, for example, Surah Al-Waqi'ah, Surah Al-Rahman, or anything else like that, and they know it very slowly, they can actually ponder over the meaning. So I would say that for anybody who wants to do this, anybody who's a Hafiz of the Quran and who also wants to be able to learn this and think over it, then they start with the Surah. So start with Surah Yasin, for example. Start with the small Surahs, Qul Huwallahu Ahad, just ponder over their meaning and have that as part of your recitation. Then inshallah, you can slowly progress to the rest. Of course, stories like Surah Yusuf, right? They're much easier because they're much easier to follow. There's one story, there's not too many movement of themes. Whereas everything else, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is providing some evidence. He's speaking about the people who do evil. He starts providing some evidence from the heavens and from the earth. Then he starts providing some historical evidence from Ad and Thamud and so on, and how they were destroyed. And then he starts providing evidence about the Day of Judgment. So it moves around quite a bit. So that becomes sometimes a bit more complicated. And of course, knowing the tafsir helps you a lot, of course. However, even if you don't know the tafsir, for a normal person who's not a hafiz of the Quran, this is a fariḍah, this is an obligation. This is, many of us are missing this obligation, which is al-khawfu wal-raja'u li wa'dihi wa wa'idi. This is the second fariḍah of the Quran, which is to have fear and hope for the promises that are made and the warnings that are given. Basically, having fear of the warnings that are provided in the Quran and having hope in the promises. The only way anybody can do this is by understanding the meaning of the Quran, and that is by taking a translation. If you don't know Arabic, taking a translation and pondering over it. And pondering over that. Because there are going to be many, many verses that you will pass. You pick up any page in the Quran, what it talks about is when it gives some kind of promise for the good people, right? In general, it said that these were the people who followed their prophet, and thus this is what happened. Well, you consider yourself to be one of them, and you also hope that there's an interaction that's going on in the Quran. So the interaction aspect, the sentimental, emotional interaction, that is what's important. So for example, if you just pick up any page here, it says, قَالَ يَا قَوْمِ لِمَ تَسْتَعْجِلُونَ بِالسَّيِّئَةِ قَبْلَ الْحَسَنَ لَوْ لَا تَسْتَغْفِرُونَ اللَّهَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُرْحَمُونَ. Right? If only you would seek forgiveness from Allah, then maybe you would gain some mercy. So that is not written just for them. It's written to be an inspiration for the rest of humanity. and not just humanity, but for jinn, everybody until the Day of Judgment. So here we must be also pondering over this, taking a lesson from this, that yes, if I do istighfar, I will also be treated by mercy, hence I should do istighfar. Oh Allah, forgive me for my sins. These are the thoughts that should be basically going through our mind. For example, it says, وَاتَّقُوا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ تَوَّابُ الرَّحِيمُ. You should fear Allah because Allah accepts all repentance and He is the merciful one. These names of Allah, they provide a lot of hope. So that is part of the hope of the Quran. Then you have numerous places where it will provide, again, another hope, just hope verses today. الَّذِينَ صَبَرُوا وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. Those people who are patient and upon their Lord they rely. This should spur us to patience. If we've got some trouble in our life, this should spur us to patience. Our practice of the deen is all based on patience. Patience to do good deeds and patience in avoiding bad deeds. So this should encourage us to do that. أَفَأَمِنَ الَّذِينَ مَكَرُوا السَّيِّئَاتِ أَنْ يَخْسِفَ اللَّهُ بِهِمُ الْأَرْضِ أَوْ يَأْتِيَهُمُ الْعَذَابُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. Those people who plot and make evil plots, do they feel safe and secure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not cause the earth to collapse from under their feet, basically have a subterranean collapse and they sink, right? أَوْ يَأْتِيَهُمُ الْعَذَابُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَشْعُرُونَ. Or the punishment comes to them from where they would never have even anticipated. أَوْ يَأْخُذَهُمْ فِي تَقَلُّبِهِمْ فَمَا هُمْ بِمُعْجِزِينَ. Or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just seizes them in just whatever daily activity they may be engaged in at any time. فَمَا هُمْ بِمُعْجِزِينَ. They will not be able to enfeeble Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They will not be able to have any kind of defense in this regard. أَوْ يَأْخُذَهُمْ عَلَىٰ تَخَوُّفِ فَإِنَّ رَبَّكُمْ لَرَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. But then always at the end of all of this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala balances it out with a bit of mercy. So if the theme there is to do warning, right, whether that be direct warning or whether that be warning to some historical group or individual, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will always add rahmah after it. And the benefit of that is it's not about absolute condemnation. It's not about shutting the door completely. It is never about making people lose hope. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may show the highest condemnation for something, but he'll always mention فَإِنَّ رَبَّكُمْ لَرَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. But your Lord is the most compassionate and most merciful. Why is he mentioning that here when he's talking about this punishment? To make people return. That is the balance of hope and fear that you learn from the Quran. Every page you'll find numerous things of this nature. So this is the way of the interaction that we have to have with the Quran.
وكذلك أخذ ربك إذا أخذ القرى وهي ظالمة إن أخذه أليم شديد.
And this is the way your Lord seizes when He seizes a vicinity when it is oppressive, and His seizing is severe indeed, very very severe. So that's a warning. So we say, oh Allah, protect us from that. It makes us reflect, am I doing anything that is even faintly connected to this? Am I an oppressor of any sort? Have I oppressed anybody? This is what will make a person pious. This is what will make a person connect to Allah. This is what will purify the heart. This kind of interaction. And many of us are missing this. We read tons and tons of the Quran in Ramadan. And generally. Which is, alhamdulillah, very, very good. There's lots of barakah that is brought up by that. There's many benefits of reciting the Quran. However,
إن في ذلك لآية لمن خاف عذاب الآخرة.
In this is a sign. These are not just stories mentioned in a vacuum or anecdotes provided just for no reason. In this are signs for those who fear the punishment of the Akhirah. Now, are we oblivious to these signs, though we're so close? The whole point I'm trying to make is that we are so close to the Quran, yet we are so far in some cases. We are so close that we have it in our hearts, the Hufaz at least. We are so close that we read of several Qurans in the month of Ramadan, mashallah. But we're so far in terms of that extra step, which is such a crucial step. Like we've gone all the way and we just missed the final step. Allahu Akbar. يَوْمَ يَأْتِ لَا تَكَلَّمُ نَفْسٌ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِهِ. The day when they will come and no nafs will be able to speak except, nobody will be able to speak except by his permission. فَمِنْهُمْ شَقِيٌّ وَسَعِيدٌ. Among them will be the wretched, yet among them will also be the fortunate ones. Again, that makes you think, which one am I? This is what you get out of interaction with the Quran. But it requires time. So that's why I said, you can read as much as you want, but spend some time in pondering. And you will see the absolute benefit in that. فَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ شَقُوا. As far as those who are wretched, فَفِي النَّارِ. They will be in the hellfire. لَهُمْ فِيهَا زَفِيرٌ وَشَهِيقٌ. They'll have screams and shrieks and everything. This is what they will find in there. They will be doing this themselves. خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا. They'll be in there forever. مَا دَامَدِ السَّمَاوَاتُ وَالْأَرْضُ إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ رَبُّكَ. As long as the heavens and earth stay around, and unless your Lord desires. إِنَّ رَبَّكَ فَعَالٌ لِمَا يُرِيدٌ. Your Lord absolutely does as He wills. وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ سُعِيدُوا. And those people who have the good fortune, who have the salvation, who are fortunate. فَفِي الْجَنَّةِ خَالِدِينَ. They are going to be in paradise forever in there. And the same thing, مَا دَامَ ذِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضُ إِلَّا مَا شَاءَ رَبُّكَ عَطَاءً غَيْرَ مَجْذُوذٍ. This is a wonderful gift. Nothing held back. It's a wonderful gift. فَلَا تَكُوا فِي مِرْيَةٍ مِمَّا يَعْبُدُ هَؤُلَاء. Do not be in any doubt about what these others worship. Do not be in any doubt whatsoever. Don't have no doubt. Don't let that make you doubtful in the least, because what you have is the truth. وَمَا يَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا كَمَا يَعْبُدُ آبَاؤُهُمْ مِنْ قَبْلِ. The only thing they're worshipping is, they're only worshipping in the same way that their forefathers worshipped before. And وَإِنَّا لَمُوَفُوهُمْ نَصِيبَهُمْ غَيْرَ مَنْقُوسًا. We're going to give them their full share, right, without any decrease whatsoever. So this is the way of interaction with the Quran. Because when I read this, I said, okay, you know, people are going to need to know how you interact with the Quran. How do you have fear of the warnings in there? And how do you gain some hope with all the... Well, it's by literally pondering over everything. And there's no way the Quran will not move you if you start reading with that meaning. And then it says, "Wal imanu bi mutashabihihi," which is iman. Iman with its ambiguous verses. So Allah has left a number of verses in the Quran that are ambiguous for wisdom, best known to Him. But like, for example, what does Alif Lam Mim mean? Right? What does Ta-Sin mean? For example, those are the simple ones. They're clear. You know, you don't understand their meaning. Although some have tried to provide a meaning for them. But then there's other things which are more difficult to discern, like, for example, the hand of Allah, يَدُ اللَّهِ فَوْقَ أَيْدِيهِمْ, the hand of Allah, فَأَيْنَمَا تُوَلُّوا فَثَمَّ وَجْهُ اللَّهِ, whichever way you, in whichever direction you face, then that is where you'll find the countenance of Allah. What exactly does that mean? يَوْمَ يُكْشَفُ عَنْ سَاقٍ, the day when the shin will be revealed. What does that mean? You know, because we're not allowed to give any kind of human ascription to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, iman bi mutashabihi, we believe in it. However it is, whatever it is, part of the Quran, we believe in it. وَلِاعْتِبَارْ بِقِصَصِهِ وَأَمْثَالِهِ. Coming back to the same point. And for a person to take heed and lessons, essentially reflect and benefit from its stories and its anecdotes that it provides. That's where you get the stories. Yusuf alayhi salam's story is mentioned in there, not just to be just a beautiful story, a wonderful composition. It's there for us to take heed. And there are so many lessons. That story can move you to tears if you read it with meaning. That's how beautiful that story is. Right? I mean, unfortunately, I know we're in times right now and we just have a few hours, for iftar and Taraweeh and Suhoor, and maybe throw in two rakats of Tahajjud if possible, right? I know we're kind of struggling right now, and Allah accept. Although the bright part of it is that at least you get to sometimes read your
Fajr with the wudu of your Maghrib sometimes, or at least wudu of Isha, and stay up the whole night in worship. I mean, when else are we going to get that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just making, is contracting time for us just to make it easy for us people here, you know, to be able to do that. That, okay, you've read these stories of the people of the past who, for this many years, they did, you know, apparently, they did Fajr with the wudu of Isha. Here, let me give you, let me make it easy for you, right? So, khalas, I mean, there has to be some benefit of living where we are in this part of town, in this part of the world. But this is very important, is that when we read the stories, they are to take heed and lesson from, because these stories are very specially selected. Out of 124,000 prophets that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent, He chose these 25 or so names, right, which He mentioned in the Quran, of the prophets. Out of 120, these are very, it's a special selection. So Ibrahim alayhi salam's story, which is scattered throughout the Quran, is very important because of the experiences that he went through. They relate to basic human fundamentals, basic human challenges. They're not something just for his time. They deal with the haqq and batil. They deal with discerning what's right and what's wrong. They deal with submission. Because that's what Ibrahim alayhi salam's story is all about. Am I going to submit to my Lord despite everything seeming contradictory? Despite everything seeming to be not logical, right? And he passes in flying clouds, flying colors, basically go and drop your wife off in Makkah, where there's nothing. He does so. These are the stories. Yusuf alayhi salam's story of the haqq always prevailing afterwards, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala providing safety to people, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala providing safety, though it comes at after some time. You don't get it straight away. Musa alayhi salam's story, that they had to stick around for about 40 years. Their dua was accepted afterwards. So yeah, your duas aren't going to be accepted the next day. There will be struggles that you will have to go through. And then inshallah, وَالْعَاقِبَةُ لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, you're told in the Quran so many times that your aqibah and the final consequence, final solution, and it be positive, is going to be for the muttaqeen. Is going to be for the people of taqwa. It will always come to your benefit. فَإِذَا أَتَيْتَ بِذَلِكَ, then he says that yes, if you fulfill all of this, right, by fulfilling its commands and by fearing its warnings and hoping in its promises and iman with its ambiguous verses, and also taking heed and lesson from its stories and anecdotes, if you do all of this, فَقَدْ خَرَجْتَ مِنْ ظُلُمَاتِ الْجَهْلِ إِلَى نُورِ الْعِلْمِ, then you would have extracted yourself from the darknesses of ignorance into the nur of knowledge. That's when you have knowledge. Not knowing so many other small, fine, subtleties, but rather to really have this kind of interaction with the Quran. Then that will take you out of the darkness. Because otherwise we're in darkness. You may know a lot, but if we're finding it difficult in our life to get it right, then we are in darkness. Because we're stumbling. Darkness causes you to stumble. That's what darkness does. So when there's light, then you know the way. So the problem here is that we still have a veil of darkness over us. وَمِنْ عَذَابِ الشَّكِّ إِلَىٰ رُوحِ الْيَقِينِ, another thing that it will do for us is that it will take us away from the punishment of doubt. Punishment of doubt to the rawh al-yaqeen, which means to the luxury and the comfort of conviction. What words he chooses as well. From the punishment of doubt. How is doubt a punishment? Doubt is a punishment for... Now this is speaking to people who are concerned. People who are not concerned, they don't care about doubt. They don't care about not even knowing. Do you understand? Doubt is a stage after not knowing. If I don't know, I don't know. One is, I think I should know, but I don't know and I'm doubtful. That means you got some concern there, right? Doubt could only be for the person who has some concern. Because for a person who doesn't have any concern, then absence of knowledge, unawareness is his lot, right? So he's saying that for a mu'min, for a believer who's attempting to get somewhere, doubt is something very severe. Is my prayer done or not? Have I done it right? Think of this. You did some prayer, you did your Jumu'ah prayer, and you made a mistake in there. and you don't know whether whether that mistake invalidates your prayer and whether you should do dhuhr or whether you should repeat your prayer or whether you should not. How significant is that? This is just a simple example. A person said something to his wife. He and she, they don't know whether it's a divorce or not. They go to Asr Muftis. And some Muftis are saying it's a divorce and some saying it's not a divorce. Can you imagine can you see the punishment of doubt? That's a punishment. It's not a punishment in the hellfire, right? But it's a punishment in this world. When a person gets enlightened, then they move out of that punishment of doubt to the comfort of conviction. You know, when you are confident, that I am here to stay, I am here because I am rightfully here, I am on the right course. You basically did that exam and you came out absolutely confident. Can you imagine how you feel after that when you really did an exam well? You know the comfort it gives you, the satisfaction it gives you. And on the other hand, if you had doubt about that, the punishment it makes you feel. It's only an exam, but it makes you feel punished. That's basically what it is. Now imagine that part of our deen. Unfortunately, a lot of this stuff is only going to be revealed in the hereafter. For the people who are unawares. I mean, they won't even know. قَالَ اللَّهُ جَلَّ ذِكْرُ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah, whose mention be mighty, right? He mentions, اللَّهُ وَلِيُّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا Allah is the wali, the friend of those who believe. The word wali, the wali of Allah, is a very interesting word in Arabic because it can both act with the meaning of an active participle and also with a passive participle meaning. So it can both have an active meaning and a passive meaning, because wilayat and tawalla means to take care of something, to be mindful of something and to take care of it. That's why the wali is the governor, because he's supposed to take care of the affairs of his subjects, right? So the wali of Allah is the one who is actively mindful of the commands of Allah and the Sharia. So he's very active and mindful of the boundaries. So he is mindful, and passively Allah is mindful of him. He has been taken care of. Because you know the famous hadith that mentions that when a person becomes close to Allah by fulfilling the fara'id and then additionally the nawafil, then Allah becomes the hands by which he touches and the eyes by which he sees and the feet by which he walks. Essentially, he's in divine guidance then. Right? Generally speaking, he is now divinely enabled with a lot of tawfiq, right? And thus he is taken care of, because Allah is the wali of those who believe. Allah is the wali of those who believe. Anybody who believes, Allah is their wali. But the wilayat is based on how much their iman is. The more your iman increases, the more wilayat that you get, the more care that you get, right? And people may be thinking that the person who has the least iman, very weak iman, then he should be getting more help. Well, he has to want it. And once you start wanting it and ask Allah for tawfiq, then you increase in your iman, because it's a call of your iman. So a person has low iman, yes, they need help, right? But if you don't want it, because إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't change a people until they take the step first and change themselves. That has to be very important. Allah is the wali of those people, of those who believe. يُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ يُخْرِجُهُمْ مِنَ الظُّلُمَاتِ إِلَى النُّورِ He extracts them, He removes them from the darknesses to the light. Both in this world, from the darknesses of shak and doubt and kufr and everything else and nifaq and etc. And in the hereafter, light, we're going to need light. If you read Surah Al-Hadid, right, Surah Al-Hadid has two things, two main concepts in there if you look at it. It has the word nur in there quite a bit. I forget the exact number of times, 5 or 7 times it mentions the word nur. And number two, it mentions sadaqah. He mentioned spending. That is a surah about nur and spending, right? And it speaks about يَوْمَ يَقُولُ الْمُنَافِقُونَ وَالْمُنَافِقَاتُ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا What is it? أُنْظُرُونَ نَقْتَبِسْ مِنْ نُورِكُمْ
just look at us, so we can take some of your light. Allahu Akbar. The munafiqeen, they will say to the believers, just look at us, we can take some of your light. نَقْتَبِسْ مِنْ نُورِكُمْ قِيلَ ارْجِعُوا وَرَاءَكُمْ فَلْتَمِسُوا نُورًا. No, you guys go look behind you. فَلْتَمِسُوا نُورًا, go and look for your own light. So I said, فَمَا لَهُ مِنْ نُورًا, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another place. They will have no light on that day. We need light in the hereafter. Light in the hereafter will only be provided by the deeds and by things like isbaghul wudu and the things that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us about. So nur is it's very important that we think over this verse. We think over Surah Al-Hadid. Very important. It's a very good surah to ponder. And there's lots in there about sadaqah. Because sadaqah will be a source of light on the Day of Judgment. Sadaqah. There's numerous, it's basically fundraising, you know, for all good causes. Sadaqah, sadaqah, sadaqah. And the concept of light. It's well connected. So Allah is the wali of those who believe. He extracts them from the darknesses into the light. And وَإِنَّمَا يُمَيِّزُ ذَٰلِكَ وَيَرْغَبُ فِيهِ أَهْلُ الْعَقْلِ عَنِ اللَّهِ. The only people that will make distinction between this, the good and bad, the light and the darkness, وَيَرْغَبُ فِيهِ, and also desire it, want it, are the people who have aql from Allah. Wow, aql is being praised here. The aql is being praised here. And the whole point here is that aql is a ni'mah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us never diminish aql. Because without aql, you wouldn't know Allah from anything else. With the aql is how you recognize, you gain ma'rifah. Right? Generally speaking. I know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can place it into the heart, and then your aql will follow, clearly. Right? But aql helps you distinguish. Allah has placed it there for a human to be able to distinguish between right and wrong. That's why it says, أَهْلُ الْعَقْلِ عَنِ اللَّهِ. The people of aql who have gained it from Allah. Not just very intelligent in this world and smart individuals who figure things out, you know, who are just very sharp. It's talking about people who have a special form of aql that also gives them an understanding of the good and bad. الَّذِينَ عَمِلُوا فِي إِحْكَامِ الظَّاهِرِ وَتَنَزَّهُوا عَنِ الشُّبَهِ. Those people who have practiced and made all of their efforts to strengthen their external aspect, وَتَنَزَّهُوا عَنِ الشُّبَهِ, and they have avoided and taken a path of precaution from doubtful matters. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, no, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the halal is clear and the haram is clear, and between them are matters of doubt, whose abundance basically is better than taking them. So inshallah we'll stop here. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us a greater connection, understanding and association with the Quran. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us hifz of the Quran, then may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take us to the next step. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us the ability to recite the Quran a lot, then oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again take us to the next step.
اللهم أنت السلام ومنك السلام تبارك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام اللهم يا حي يا قيوم برحمتك نستغيث اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا وعافنا واهدنا وارزقنا اللهم اغفر للمسلمين والمسلمات والمؤمنين والمؤمنات الأحياء منهم والأموات والله we ask you for your forgiveness. O Allah, we ask you for your mercy. O Allah, we ask you for your compassion. O Allah, this is the month in which you've opened the doors of Jannah. You've closed the doors of hellfire. You've locked up the shaitan. O Allah, you have much in store for your believers. O Allah, make us among those who receive this mercy from you. O Allah, make us among those who receive this blessing from you. O Allah, this month of Ramadan has come to its middle point. O Allah, we ask you. We ask that you forgive us for our shortcomings in the first half. And O Allah, we ask that you give us the full portion of the second half. O Allah, we ask that you bless us in this regard. O Allah, we are in need of your compassion. O Allah, we are self-confessing sinners. O Allah, you do not have to establish any proof against us. We don't need any proof. We are self-confessing sinners. O Allah, we ask that your mercy overcome our sins. O Allah, for it has O Allah, it has all the scope to take all the disobediences of the world. O
Oh Allah, we ask that you make us of those who attain your special mercies during this month. Oh Allah, every night your Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam has told us that people are being freed from the hellfire. Oh Allah, make us from among them. Oh Allah, make us from among them. Oh Allah, do not deprive us among those who you may deprive. Oh Allah, if there are any actions that we are doing that we don't realize are critical and dangerous, oh Allah, we ask you for recognition of them. We ask you for awareness of them in a soft way. Oh Allah, we ask you to deal with us in a gentle manner. Oh Allah, we can't take your punishment. Oh Allah, we can't take your punishment. Oh Allah, we ask you for gentleness, just as you told Musa and Harun alayhi salam to speak gently with the Pharaoh. Oh Allah, we can expect this gentleness from you. Oh Allah, we don't call ourselves the highest Lord as Pharaoh did. Oh Allah, but we go down into sajda and we say that you are the highest Lord. Oh Allah, we say these things, we know we make mistakes, we know we still sin, we know when we finish our prayer, we return back to sin. But oh Allah, we know that in the depths of our heart we love you. Oh Allah, allow this love to permeate every aspect of our body. Oh Allah, grant us your love and the love of those who love you. Oh Allah, grant us love for your obedience and hatred for your disobedience. Oh Allah, we ask for closeness to you. We ask for wilayat for us and our entire family and progenies until the Day of Judgment. Oh Allah, fulfill our permissible needs. Oh Allah, the last 10 days are coming up of Ramadan. In there is a special night. Oh Allah, we ask you for the greatest blessings of all of these nights, and especially the Laylatul Qadr. Oh Allah, give us the tawfiq to associate ourselves with the masjid and your deen as much as possible. Oh Allah, grant us the conviction in our heart. Remove any kind of doubts that are in our heart. Oh Allah, we ask you for the ability to fulfill the commands of the Quran in a very thorough manner. Oh Allah, strengthen the Quran in our hearts and in our minds. Oh Allah, strengthen our understanding of the Quran. Oh Allah, accept our Taraweeh, our fasting, and all of our worships during this month. Oh Allah, we ask you finally that you send your abundant blessings on our Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that you grant us his company in the hereafter. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifuna wa salamun ala al mursaleen wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.